Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for this hour. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. It's been quite a day today. I've had so many things going on that my head is kind of spinning, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's all been good, thank God. A little prayer to get started. I thank the Lord for all of you, and I ask His blessings and comfort to be upon you and our time together. May we grow closer to Him. May we go deeper into our faith life, in the abundant life that He offers to us. So anyway, I apologize for not being here last Monday. I told you I would be, and I planned on it, but then I had to take the day off. So I apologize for letting you down. So anyway, there's like three or four things I'd like to bring up today, and I hope they're interesting to you. The first thing I wanted to share with you was in the gospel today, there was a story we're all familiar with, and I just want to read to you a portion of it. It says that well, Jesus rose and followed this man whose daughter was dying or had died. And a woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. And she said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. She just knew that if she got close enough to just touch a piece of his clothing, that she would be healed. And he said, "Your faith has saved you. Don't be afraid. What you did was a good thing." And in the Magnificat today, there's a poet, Rita Simons, who wrote this, and I thought it might be nice to lead in with this. It's tied to the faith and courage that the woman did in the gospel. I'm sorry. And this is how it goes. "It is all too common to suffer without relief. Maybe you've waited years to find a suitable spouse or conceive a child or land a good job. Maybe you're bereaved after losing a loved one or because you were neglected, abandoned, or abused. Maybe you're enduring a loveless marriage. Maybe you have a chronic illness. You who live in a world of confusion, violence, betrayal, you who are a fallen, misshapen, unclean, where do you go with your waning hope? Where do you go with your waning hope? Jesus passes by at a time we least expect. Just like with the bleeding woman. Do you dare to utter a prayer when Jesus passes by? Are you worth enough to yourself to extend your heart and hands in the direction of repair? Have courage. Touch the tassel of his cloak. Ignite his wish to make you whole." I thought that was really beautiful because, you know, we all suffer in one form or another. And some of you are suffering very deeply. And maybe some of you don't have faith. You've never given Jesus a chance. But I just encourage you that, you know, even if you are a believer, reach out. Have faith, reach out and touch that cloak and ask him to heal you in the way that would be most beneficial for you. There are people carrying around old memories and things that are really making their lives miserable. Some of you might be doing that. I know I've done it in the past. Fortunately, I haven't done it lately, but I want to share with you a couple of things. I was on a retreat last weekend, the Women of Grace retreat with Johnette Bankovic Williams and Thea, and shout out to Micah and all of them. It's always a magnificent retreat. There's always something really special that happens there. And I wanted to share with you something that happened to me because it was a little shocking. There's always a healing rosary. We pray a healing rosary on Saturday evening. And after that is like a sort of Eucharistic adoration healing encounter. And what happens is Father Gracie exposes the Blessed Sacrament, and then he takes the stole and he picks up the Blessed Sacrament, and he comes down and kneels down on the floor in front of the altar with the Blessed Sacrament, with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and he invites everyone there to come up and touch the stole like the woman in the story today in the Gospel. While and in groups of 20, we all gather around him and we touch the stole and we adore Jesus and we pray. And he prays in particular. And it's for healing and renewal and increases in faith and that sort of thing. And there's always something profound that happens with probably everyone that goes there, but I know with myself there is. And also three people I was there with, they also had profound experiences, and I'll tell you another one in a minute. But basically, part of the retreat focused on forgiveness and how essential forgiveness is for us to be healed of anything, and also to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And I've talked about this before. And, you know, they talked about, you know, forgive the people in your past, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, this amazing thing happened to me. And what it was is the Lord said in my heart, but what about years and years and years ago, the people that you hurt, that I hurt? You haven't dealt with that. And it was like, holy smokes. The people that I hurt. Because I have, as far as I can tell, have forgiven everyone who's ever hurt me or disappointed me or, you know, injured me. You know, with the help of God, you can do it. And believe me, I've had some pretty heavy-duty things to forgive. But I never faced my own guilt of hurting other people years ago. I mean, if I'm aware of hurting anyone or upsetting anyone now, obviously I deal with it right away. You know, but years ago, before I was Catholic and I was very worldly and I was in the music business and the movie business, I hurt a lot of people in not deliberately, but I did. You look back on it and you analyze the things that you did and the people you encountered, and in that young selfish mode, you know, it was all about me, of course. And so the Lord really hit me up the side of the head with that. There are people that you hurt, that you that need to forgive you, but you're out of touch with them now and probably could never find them. But you need to deal with that. You need to confess it. You need to be healed of the injuries that you caused other people. You need to forgive yourself. And I had just never looked at those things like that before. And it was such an eye-opening, and deep in my gut, I realized this was something that I didn't even know needed to be healed, didn't even know that I had to deal with in order to be all that God wants me to be now. And I'm sharing this with you because I bet some of you listening have had people in your past that you've maybe even forgotten about, or it's just so long ago you don't even think about it anymore. But those wounds are still there, because when we hurt others, it hurts us too. And we may not be aware of it when we're selfish or when we use people for our own gain and that sort of thing. You know, it's days in your soul. And I didn't realize that. I'd never looked at it that way. So I'm just telling you this because I realized that I needed, if I knew anyone that I still knew anyone that I could go back and apologize to, I needed to do that. Even though it was so long ago, I needed to do that. And then I realized he was telling me to go to confession about this. This is something that is still a stain that you weren't aware of, but I'm making you aware of it now. And then pray for the people that I've injured all those years ago, and that they will forgive me, and that the Lord will heal those injuries, because some of them were very serious, and it saddens me now, but there's nothing I can do about it now. They're long gone. And then forgive myself. I had to face that and own the guilt of the things that I did back then that I hadn't even thought about in years. I had to ask the Lord to help me to forgive myself, because if you can't forgive yourself, then it's destructive. The whole point is to do something constructive with these things that the Lord reveals to you. So if you have anything like that in your past, that it's kind of, you know, touching your heart right now, I'm glad that I shared it, and I'm asking you to face it and to confess it and to do something constructive with it, okay? Just like I'm trying to do. And I hope it results in more peace and joy in our walk with Jesus, because I could feel it in my gut that this was essential and it was a good thing. It gave me such joy that the Lord had revealed that to me, that I could deal with it and make things right. It gave me such joy, and I hope that will be the case for you. Anyway, that was the first thing I wanted. The second thing I wanted to share with you, the retreat was awesome. And the healings that happened on that retreat, mine was important for me, but not important to other people. And there was just a lot of really wonderful things happening at that healing rosary and adoration. There's a woman there, Ruth. Hi, Ruth, if you're listening. She has been coming for years, and she was so disabled that she could not stand up. She was in a very heavy-duty wheelchair that she can, you know, motorize herself around in. and was able to, and she was there last year, and the whole retreat last year was on suffering, and she was the one I was, one of the people I told you about before, who was out singing after the healing, even though she hadn't been healed physically. She had such joy, and we all did, and all these people, they were outside singing, she and other people with the, you know, in wheelchairs and stuff, and it was just a delight to see. And she's a very special person, and of course I was so happy to see her again this year. Well, anyway, you know, we had the healing service, and then the next morning we're at breakfast, you know, all of us together, and I look over and there's Ruth sitting in a chair. She's not in a real chair. I'd never seen her stand up, never seen her sitting in a regular chair. The wheelchair was nowhere around her. And it's like, what happened last night, you know? And so come to find out, she had a partial physical healing. She, for the rest of the retreat, she could get herself up out of the wheelchair. She stood up. She could walk around a little bit. She sat in a regular chair for breakfast. It was a truly remarkable thing. And I went up to her after breakfast, and I was talking to her, and she says, "I cannot wait for my husband to pick me up. I can't wait to see the look on his face." Because apparently she's been disabled like this for quite a while. I don't know all the issues. I never asked her. Didn't want to pry. But she'd had, and the night before, on Friday night, she was crying because she'd had so many physical things happening. So it was a real joy to see her joy. And it's encouraging when you go on retreats, y'all. Please try to go on a retreat when you can, even if it's only for an evening or a day or a weekend. You know, go on a retreat. Look up retreat centers near you and go on a retreat. It gives you quiet time to hear the Lord, time to hear the Lord's voice. We're so busy, and there's so much noise in the world. Unless we make a real effort to make listening to God a priority, it's not going to happen. You're not going to hear His voice. He'll have to hit you over the head, which He's done to me a few times. But basically, it's a loving hit over the head. So, anyway, I wanted to share with you, since we're trying to go deeper in our faith life and find ways to live in the abundance of life that Jesus wants us to live, I wanted to share with you a couple of other things. I am now, as of today, for the 24th summer of the last 24 years, I am volunteering and helping Mother Teresa's Missionary of Charity Sisters in Chester with their annual summer camp. It runs the month of July, in the Monday through Thursday in the afternoons. And it's always... It's always a challenge because there's no air conditioning. Part of the time we're inside, part of the time we're outside. When we're outside, it's nice because there's always a breeze. I don't know where the breeze comes from in Chester, and I'm not questioning it, but it really is wonderful. It helps a lot, but it's hot, and it is a challenge physically. It is a challenge spiritually and emotionally. These children don't have much. And they, if they're not at camp, and it's free camp, if they're not at camp, they're at home inside because it's not safe to be outside and it's too hot. Or they're home inside and they can't go outside and play, not easily. And or they're outside where they shouldn't be. And so it's a very challenging thing. So the sisters always offer camp every July. And there's children basically ages 5 to 12. And every once in a while, there's one a little older than that. But it's really wonderful, and I enjoy it. But it's always a challenge, and it's always a growth experience for me. And so I came from there to here. And that's why I'm a little, I guess you'd say, overwhelmed with what to talk about. There's just so much to share. We have wonderful entertainers who will come and do free shows for the kids. And we have priests who come and visit and teach. And we have it's just nonstop field trips. And because people are generous and they help out. As you know, if you don't know, Mother Teresa had a vow of poverty that was pretty extreme, and her sisters have the same thing. Basically, they live very sparsely because they want to be one with the poor. They do have a day off once a week. They do have regular meals, but there's nothing fancy about them. And they pray a lot, and they serve a lot. And so they want to be one with the poor. And they don't have a lot of money to spend. So we try to stretch every dollar, and we're completely dependent on donations. But we don't ask for donations. We pray for donations. But anyway, it was wonderful being there. The children were happy, and we prayed, and we laughed, and we had snack, and we sang, and I'll be back there tomorrow. And so it's just really a wonderful thing, and I wanted to focus on that a little bit. There is a law in the life of humanity, a law, L-A-W. And what that law is that we are never truly happy while living a self-centered life. We are never truly happy while living a self-centered life. Don't you know people who are so obsessed with themselves and they're always unhappy? They're always this, they're always that. You know, they're just not happy because all they think about is themselves. Oh, somebody hurt my feelings. Oh, somebody neglected me. Oh, you know, somebody hurt me 5 years ago and I just can't forgive them. Or I'm unhealthy and I'm just miserable all the time. Well, the more you focus on that, the more miserable you're going to be, because there is a law of life for humanity that was put in us by God. And Jesus showed it to us. And basically, we're never truly happy while living a self-centered life. True happiness comes from giving ourselves to others with love. If you are miserable, if you feel slighted, if you are hurt and injured or sick, yeah, it's normal to be upset. It is normal, and it's right and just in many cases. However, don't dwell on it. Don't focus on it so much that you forget that others need you too. Oh, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't do anything for anyone. Oh, yes, you can. You can make a phone call. You can pray your heart out for people. You can write out a check and donate to charities who are out there able to do things you can't do. That we all can do something for someone else. We can all give of ourselves. And that's where the true happiness comes from, when we think of others. The church calls this a sincere gift of yourself. A sincere gift of self. Jesus said, and a lot of people miss this, at the Last Supper, the night before he was arrested and before he died, He said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. In the Old Testament, you might not be aware of it, but in the Old Testament, and as well as before that night, there's two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. They go way back to the Old Testament. It's not just New Testament. But Jesus says here, I'm giving you a new commandment. Look it up yourself. Excuse me. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love? How did he love? He loved with his whole heart while serving others in everything he did. He was selfless, but determined and strong and powerful. He wasn't a milquetoast, you know, but he was so full of love, and he gave himself away. He even loved to death. Okay? So, unfortunately, I don't have enough time. I will share with you more after the break, but for now, unfortunately, many people misunderstand the Christian life. Even Christians misunderstand, both Catholic and other Christians. They think that to live like Jesus and give yourself to others is boring, or would be boring, and no fun. Well, you have to give up all the fun stuff in life. I'm sorry, but that's just not true. That's just not. In fact, what you're giving up is the things in life that mean very little and don't give lasting happiness and just are ways to fill time, you know, that sort of thing. Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to have joy and a full, profoundly wonderful life. Yeah, there's challenges, but there's challenges in any life. You know, there's despair and hopelessness and sadness, but those things are in any life. But he has the cure and the balm for those kind of things. So I'll have to take a break, and when I come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this whole thing of the sincere gift of yourself and the joy that Jesus promises from that. And then I'll lead that into the summer camp and Mother Teresa and why we even should pay any attention to Mother Teresa or any of the saints for that matter. All right. So please stick with me. Don't go anywhere, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, the host for this next half hour. If you are just tuning in, I want to welcome you and let you know that we've been talking about this law in the life of humanity, that we're never truly happy while living a self-centered life, and that true happiness comes from giving ourselves to others in love. And the church calls this the sincere gift of yourself, the sincere gift of self. And Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he at the Last Supper, he said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you." As I have loved you. He fulfilled and expanded love your neighbor as yourself to love one another as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. I want to read something to you about this giving of yourself, because it is true. It is a law in humanity. If we are selfish and self-centered, we are not ever happy. We're not ever happy. I led a Bible study a couple of years ago called Following Jesus. And it was put together, it was a video and a study guide series written by Dr. Edward Shree and his crew. And if you know him at all, he's pretty dynamic and very dedicated Catholic Christian. And so I wanted to read out of the study guide on page, on page 60 in the study guide. And it's really about the Gospel of St. John, but I want to read to you what it says here about the sincere gift of self. And Dr. Shree says, one of the great mysteries in life is that we find our fulfillment only when we give ourselves away in love. We find our fulfillment only when we give ourselves away in love. As St. John Paul II often taught, man finds himself only when he makes himself a sincere gift to others. But this profound truth of our humanity is scary to modern man. We like to grasp at things for ourselves: more attention, more control, more security, more wealth, more likes. How can I get the most out of life for myself? It's a natural thing in humanity, but it's not the best thing for humanity. And he goes on to say, Jesus flips this modern mentality on its head and says, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The more I grasp at life for my own gain, comfort, and pleasure, the more frustrated and disappointed I will be. But the more I give of myself in love to God, my wife, he's a man, so he's my wife, my kids, and my neighbor, the more my life will be enriched. I do not lose anything when I make my life a gift to others. I actually gain so much more, for God has made us for self-giving love, like himself. God has made us for self-giving love, like himself. And it's the only way we will find true happiness in life. This law of self-giving is written in the fabric of our humanity, and Jesus not only describes it, he models it for us. He says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Indeed, Jesus will raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, even though this miracle will infuriate the chief priests and impel them to put Jesus to death. He will be like a grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies in order to bear much fruit. And he invites us to share in his life of total self-giving. I once heard someone say, if you are the center of your universe is pretty small. And it's true. If we're all obsessed about ourselves, what kind of life is that? Where is the joy of hearing someone laugh after COVID, and here in seeing a new baby out with its dad or mom, and looking at the sunshine and thinking of others and serving others, praying for others. Life is so rich when you embrace this law of giving yourself away. And I said before the break that many non-Christians and Christians mistake the idea of holiness or being close to the Lord or being faithful or giving yourself away as being like, a killjoy. It's all about judging and nastiness and not doing anything fun anymore. Well, whoa, I can tell you right now, that is not the truth. That is not the truth. Jesus said he came to give us abundant life, and I'm telling you, when you give him a chance and you trust him and you step out in faith, you step into the grace, as Kathleen McCarthy likes to say. He offers you the grace, you step into it. Wow. Wow. Living an authentic Christian life is very far from that. The key is authentic. There's a lot of people walking around in the world who are Christian, but they're lukewarm, or they're very worldly. I mean, I used to be one, so I know what I'm talking about. You think everything's okay, you pray, you go to church, sometimes you don't go to church, and I'm okay. I believe in Jesus, I try to be good. But it's deeper than that. It has to do with the heart, and he wants our hearts. It's not just about belief. And in fact, in Magnificat again, a few days ago, it was Friday. Let's see, who wrote this? Sorry. St. Anthony of Zakaria. Says, before starting your activities, offer Jesus a few words. Wait. Sorry, this is not the right one. I will find it, and then I'll read it too. But for now, I guess I'll just keep going. I'll find it in a little bit. But Bear Woznick is this big bear of a guy. That's why they call him Bear. And he has been a surfer, a famous surfer, his whole life. And he had a pretty dramatic encounter with Christ. And he's a dynamic author and speaker, and to young people and older people. And he said this quote, and I have it on my wall at home because it is so true. He says, when you give your life to the Lord, expect to get tumbled like in a wave. Expect things to get wild. Expect it to be an adventure. And he means that from a good point of view. He says, you never know what tomorrow holds. And it is an adventure. There's ups and downs and all arounds in this pilgrimage we're on. But it's like, expect things to get wild, expect it to be an adventure. And he means that in a good way. And it's so true. Wow. You just don't know what he's got up his sleeve for you, the Lord. But he's always there for you. He's always encouraging. He gets you through grief. He gets you through sickness. You might not get healed right away or anything like that, but he's there with us. He has promised, and he is. And that's what, that's what we believe. You know, he's just, and he shows himself to us. It says, Bear says, when you give your life to the Lord, when you give your life to the Lord, you are giving him, because you were born with free will, you are giving him permission to be the Lord of your life. You're giving him permission to show himself to you, to be your partner in life. And so, you know, he's not going to force you. He's inviting you every day. So say yes. Anyway, I thought, you know, I was thinking about how some people think that life as a Christian is boring and uneventful, unsatisfying, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. All right. He traveled. He went to parties and weddings. He ate often with friends and strangers. He worshiped God. He had deep friendships. He created communities of peoples. He shared joy and truth everywhere he went. And he was also, you know, stern when he needed to be. He was physically strong. He was no wimp. I'm sorry, there's some people that think of Jesus as this wimpy guy. He was physically strong. He was a carpenter. And he overturned the tables in the temple, the merchants, he threw them out of the temple, and no one dared to stop him. He was strong. He knew what he was doing. No one was going to mess with him. That's not a wimp, okay? And he hung out at the beach. He hung out in the mountains. He challenged hard-hearted and stubborn people to open themselves to follow him, to learn from him, to live with him. He hung out with undesirables. I mean, the man, you know, the God-man lived a full and dynamic and thrilling life. Yeah, he died in the end, but he came back and freed us and gave us every spiritual blessing in the heavens if we say yes to it. You know, so, you know, when we give that sincere gift of ourselves to others, and we enter into the life of Christ in a different kind of way, and we receive enormous grace that makes us able to do it, willing to do it, and joyfully want to do it. You know, it's no longer all about me. You know, Pastor Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, the first sentence is, your life isn't about you. Yeah, we take care of ourselves, and we have to do the things we need to do in order to survive and to thrive. But we also have to face the fact that there is a law within our humanity that we won't be happy if we don't give ourselves away. So, anyway, the reason I brought that up is because it's important for us to know that the key to happiness is giving yourself away. But camp started today. And like I said, this is my 24th summer working down there. I never in a million years expected to be there that long. And I don't know where all the time has gone. So, I bring it up because when you go and you serve children at a camp, you serve at a soup kitchen, you lead a Bible study, you go out on the streets and help the homeless, or you take, you know, help your neighbor who needs some help. You listen to a friend who needs some encouraging words. You know, all of these things are where we give ourselves away. And not only are you helping heal the world, the hurts and injuries of the world, by giving them your heart like Jesus, you are also receiving extraordinary grace from Jesus. So it's just a win-win thing. And when I go down to camp, do you think that I can't wait to run out the door and go down there in the heat and, you know, when I'm tired or whatever? No, there are days when I have to force myself to go. But once I get there, there's no comparison. The heat, I deal with it. I've been dealing with it for 24 summers, and I'm dealing with it again. You learn, and you persevere, and you love those kids with your whole heart, and you're so glad that you didn't give in to your own weakness or the hints from the evil one who wants you to stay home and not minister to those children or to whoever you're needing to minister to. You know, you get so much more. Mother Teresa used to say, we get so much more from the poor than we could ever give them, because the joy that they give back and the joy of seeing them happy because of something we might have done or feeling better or whatever. It's true. You give yourself away and you get so much more. It's challenging. Whenever you give yourself away, it's challenging. It's difficult. But there's a lot of joy there, too. Why do you think so many people, why do we even want to listen to Mother Teresa? You know, these saints of the past. Why do we even want to listen to them? Why do we even want to read about them? Well, that was a long time ago. No, they really knew Jesus Christ. They lived with him every day. They knew him through scripture. They knew him through the church. They knew from their own experience. They lived the way that he asking all of us to live. And they learn things and they share those things with us. So then we can learn and apply it to our own lives. Why do you think so many, you may not be aware of it, but hundreds of thousands of people went to India to volunteer with Mother Teresa and her sisters with the poorest of the poor people in India. And I'm telling you, probably maybe even the poorest of the poor people in the whole world. It's mind-boggling, the poverty there, at least when Mother was there. I believe it's improved some. But all these people would flock there. Some of them were not even Christian. People of all different faiths and no faith would go there. Why do you think they would flock there to serve with her? It's because they knew, just like we do, and what we've seen is what the world has to offer can only satisfy us so much and for so long. And then we're looking for something else. And none of it really gets to the heart of what we need. And what we need, first of all, is the Lord, because of the love he gives and the grace he gives and the direction and everything else. But we also need to give ourselves away. And these people would go there and their lives would be profoundly changed, because they would be working with little infants. They would be working with sick and dying people. They, in very difficult situations. My situation at camp is nothing compared to what they would experience in India. And they found that by giving themselves away and not thinking of their own comforts all the time and thinking of only what they wanted and where they were going in life and just being there in the moment with those that needed them, it changed their lives. It changed their lives. And Mother Teresa would tell them, okay, you found the way. So go home, go back home, and share that with the people that you love and that you know. And they would go back. Their lives were profoundly changed. And so, to give yourself away, especially when you're in union with Jesus Christ, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And it gives you such a joy, it's just such joy. I wanted to read to you a couple of quotes from Mother. I left my other sheet at camp that I used to encourage me of all these biblical quotes and quotes from Mother. But I'm going to read to you the gospel that is a very big part of Mother Teresa and the sisters' mission in life. It says in Matthew, hold on a second, the Gospel of St. Matthew 25, yeah, that's what I thought. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen." Remember I told you before, when Jesus says, "Amen," you listen to what he says afterwards, because it's key, very important. "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." And so he takes it personally. Whenever we give of ourselves to someone else with love, not just the action, with love, he takes that personally as something done for and to him. I don't know why, but that's the way he looks at it. You know, it's just like when Saul was persecuting the Christians, who became Paul. He was persecuting the Christians, and Jesus knocked him down and basically said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus takes us, humanity, very seriously. When we hurt others, we're hurting him. When we love others, we're loving him in and through them. It's the way it works, because he's so united to each one of us. So, a couple of quotes from Mother Teresa. "Our works are only an expression of our love for Christ. Our hearts need to be full of love for him, and we have to express that love in actions to others." See, if we're full of the love of God, we want to share it. We want to share it, not just with our family members, but with others that are in need. And this is one of my absolute favorites. "Be kind and merciful. Let no one ever come to you without coming away better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. With the people we serve, we are the light of God's kindness to the poor, to children, to the poor, to all who suffer and are lonely. Give always a happy smile. Give them not only your care, but also your heart." Okay, I want to read that again. Be kind and merciful. Let no one ever come to you without coming away better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. With the people we serve, we are the light of God's kindness to the poor, to children, to the poor, to all who suffer and are lonely. Give always a happy smile. Give them not only your care, but also your heart. Mother Teresa used to say, money's important when you have a mission. But what was most important to her was, she said, I need people to come with hands to serve and hearts to love. Love is the key to all that we do, y'all. Our hearts are the key to all that we do. And if we can go through all of the motions, we can go to church, we can serve on committees, we can wear our religious articles. For all intents purpose, we pray, we do all the right things, but our hearts are far from the Lord. We haven't given our hearts to Him for Him to fill with His love for us and for others. His love. His love. I told you one time I was at the beach in Bethany with some friends, and I'm sitting on the beach, and I don't know why, all of a sudden, the Spirit came upon me, and I looked around the beach, and all I could see was the potential and beauty of every person on that beach. It was the most amazing thing that I have ever experienced at that time, to look around and not look at what was wrong with them, but to look at them. The Lord let me see them through His eyes. And I'm telling you that because I'm not special. He knew then that I would be talking to you today, and I would be sharing with you that He loves like you can't imagine, and He wants to put that in your heart, put that in your eyes, and to love you with that kind of love. So open up your hearts. Let Him in. Let Him do with you what is going to make you the happiest, and allow you, in giving of yourself to others, to experience a joy that cannot be compared with anything in this life. So I have to go pretty soon, and it's been a joy to talk with you. This month I am going to be sharing with you various things I've learned about Mother Teresa and stuff, and try to encourage you. So God bless you. Thanks for supporting us with your prayers and your financial support. I'll see you next Monday, and take care. I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless.